Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what the hell? What's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did only be a little man.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Yes. Oh, I need some water, but we'll just have to do without, I guess. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to Dicks and Jane's podcast number, 292? Can this be so?
Hold it. Hold it right there. Don't go any further.
I recognize that voice.
Damn right you do, and I'm here to talk to you before you go any further. Now, listen up.
Oh, prick. Come on now. I've just dealt with Dork, and I sure as hell don't need a prick riding my ass. Pardon the pun.
I think you do. I think you need a hell of a lot more than that, too. I think we got a few things to straighten out here, buddy. Now, listen. Come on. You weren't serious.
At which part was I not serious?
That whole thing you talked about. The teacups, the books, the $60 sessions.
I was serious.
Come on. I noticed you put that at April 1st. It was a joke. Come, tell me it was a joke. Tell your listeners that was all a joke. Like, let's just say it was a joke, bury it, move on, and, maybe somebody will just forget all about that.
No, prick. I don't want people to forget that. I was serious. I still am serious.
You're serious. You want people to come to your office, give you $60, $70 in cash, listen to you go on for 45 minutes, and then pick up a teacup and walk out.
Something like that. Yeah, that's not too far off. I mean, I would paint it in a slightly different way.
No, the truth of the matter is you want people to come, pay you, take your junk, move on, so you can go to India.
Yeah. Yes.
Scarborough, dude. Seriously. Listen to me. Listen to my words. This is like Judge Judy talking to you. Listen up, buddy. Something is very wrong right now. You are not getting the message.
No, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you're questioning this whole thing as you question everything I do. But I'm serious about it. It's not tomorrow. I don't expect anything to be lining up just yet. I'm talking a few years down the road, maybe another couple of years or so.
In a couple of years. Okay. All right. So we can just say you're just going to save face, you're just going to sort of let this lie and people will forget about it.
No. I'll be making more serious offers as the time gets closer. I'll be posting pictures of some of the things you people could buy.
Dude, people don't want your shit.
I think that's a little early to say. I have some very, very beautiful things. I mean, I'm talking not just, you know, these Occupy Japan teacups and the library. There's a kola nut dish from Nigeria. Now, come on. A kola nut dish. You don't buy those. Unique, hand-carved. I mean, the thing is, all my stuff, my whole basement full of stuff. There's some very, very cool things there. People are going to look in, and it's going to be like a treasure trove. It's a museum now. The people who've already seen it know what I'm talking about. People are going to come in, and they're going to say, holy fuck, that'd be nice.
You are serious.
I am serious. So listen, I'm picturing it now. Listen, there's a beautiful pair of matching blue mugs from Sapporo, Japan, from the Sapporo Brewery. Things like these are gifts. People could buy them. They don't have to buy it for themselves, even. You're looking for a gift for something, somebody, a one-of-a-kind, something unique you want to store. How many times? Listen. Just fucking listen.
I'm listening. I'm listening, and I'm going crazier by the minute listening.
Just shut the fuck up and listen. How many times have people had to get a gift for somebody, okay? Somebody's birthday, somebody's anniversary, some special occasion, a brother, a sister, family member. You want to get them something special, something unique. You go in, you see that treasure chest of stuff. You make an appointment with the Scarborough dude. You come in to look over his stuff, and you see these remarkable pieces. this little glass holder that I bought on the in Siberia. Holy fuck, you know, for hot Russian teas and vodkas and stuff. It's unbelievable the amount of stuff there. I mean, I'm talking museum stuff here, okay? And so you go in and you say, now, you know, I really think my cousin would absolutely love this. And when I tell the story, like, and they say, where'd you get that? I got that from a guy called a Scarborough dude. That's the cachet. That's the value of it, okay? So, yes, I am serious.
Scarborough dude, you know how I've been on the show several times. I ride you a little bit. I tease a little bit. Well, I want to tell you something right now. I'm really embarrassed for you. I'm truly embarrassed. I don't see any way out of this. The way you're talking now, the crap, this illusion. You are living in an illusion, a bubble that you think people want to come and buy you shit. Nobody wants shit. Everybody wants to get rid of shit.
No, that's not true. That's not true. People are looking for special things. At this stage of my life, it's my turn to get rid of it. But come on, most of the people who listen to the Dix and Jane show, this show, are younger. They're not ready to give up yet. They still have some gift-giving days left in their lives.
So, that's what it's all about, unloading your shit.
No, it's not just about that. It's about time. It's about an experience. And still giving, you know, this 45-minute advice, this session, this counseling, whatever the hell you want, or just a plain entertaining conversation. But you can think of it, that part's free. Maybe, you know, the conversation, the podcast is free. That's fun. They've always been free. But you're paying a little money to have this special, special item that you're going to choose, you know? Or flip it on its head. Say, no, I paid $60 for a counseling session because I think this dude has got some experience and some advice. And holy shit, I walk out with this unbelievable, fucking beautiful teacup. Wow.
You know, dude, the only reason I came on now was to stop you before you could go any further, and I see now that it's too late. You're fucked. Your listeners, how many responses did you get? Here's my question. How many people replied when you threw out that first little bit of bait, that first little hook that went into the water? How many people said, hey, dude, that sounds good. What else you got?
Well, nobody yet.
Nobody yet. And you think somebody's going to come forward?
Not right now, because I made it clear, hey, this is not till I'm 65. It's another 2 years, right? I'm 63 this month, 2 years down the road. Nobody's going to come right now, but...
And you think 2 years from now they will?
Yes, I do. I really do believe this. This is not April Fool's anymore. I believe once people get the idea, it's an idea, it's a vision, and it takes sometimes a while for people to understand other people's visions. Right? This isn't crazy. This is perfect sense. People will do this.
Listeners out there, prick here. I honestly don't know what to say to you at this point. I've tried, you know, I've tried all these years. I've tried to keep steering this guy. He has gone right off the rails. There's nothing further I can do. I know you're cheering for me. You want me to straighten this guy. You want me to win. You want me to talk him into giving up this thing, to apologizing for dropping it, to saying, yes, he made a mistake. And I'm sorry. It doesn't look like I've got a chance on this one. This guy, his mind is made up. He's fucking crazy.
Prick, you've said your piece. You've just driven me into a position where I feel stronger than ever about this. Again, just like Dork, I thank you. I thank you for giving me the resolve that I need to go ahead. Yes, I am dead serious about this. Yes, I will go ahead. Yes, this is not an illusion. This is for real. And yes, it will come to pass. Goodbye, prick.
I give up. I'm out of here. I'm gone.
Good. Go. Goodbye. Don't come back. Thank you. Oh, God. That is... Okay, listen. I've got to get myself out of this thing and into the next session because my head is spinning. He has that effect on me. I am sorry. I know for some of you that's... I got to go. I'll be back. We'll talk some more. Thank you.
turns out to be a little bit more like Bukowski. And yeah, I know it's a pretty good rin, but God, who'd wanna be? God, who'd wanna be such an asshole? God, who'd wanna be? God, who'd wanna be such an asshole? The edge of the room, the crowd screams, sacrifice, deliver. If God takes life, he's an Indian giver. So tell me now, what you'll tell me never. Who would wanna be? Who would wanna be such a control freak? Well, who would wanna be? Who would wanna be such a control freak? You want from me, you deserve it all. Nine times out of ten, our hearts just get dissolved. Well, I want a better place, or just a better way to fall. But one time out of ten, everything goes perfect for us all. Well, I want a better place, or just a better way to fall.
Here we go.
If God controls the land and disease, keeps a watchful eye on me, if he's really so damn mild, well, my problem is I can't see. Well, who would want to be? Who would want to be such a control freak? Well, who would want to be? Who would want to be such a control freak?
Good morning from the Gold Station parking lot. And I'm not drunk, I'm not high. It's the morning time. I just needed to get out of the house to record. I don't like recording in my house or at my office. So it's quite often, you know, the nearest parking lot. This is a good one, just down the street from me, not far. Eglinton Gold Station. I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the commuters, although it's after 10. And I just want to clear the decks, I guess. You know, sometimes I just, honestly, things build up in my head and I just have to talk to you to get it out. It's like meditating, you know, like doing a mantra, only this is just a big verbal dump. I need a big flush to get rid of all the shit that's in my head right now. They started, as it always does, you know, boot up the MacBook, and on Twitter and Facebook and Gmail. And one of the earlier things I read is a little, a tweet from our good friend Dave Delaney out in Nashville. Hey, Dave! Good guy. Good guy to have a drink with, I'll tell you. Anyway, he said, hey, go check out Chris Brogan's latest video blog post, I've been a follower of Chris Brogan for quite a while. I mean, much less so recently. I've sort of given up all the business type guys, but I knew Chris Brogan way back at first. I met him at PodCamp Toronto when he was just a big guy you wanted to hug, hey, the guy's serious. He's making a living at this. And anyway, I listen, I go and I watch, and he says, what's on your desktop right now? Like, how are you starting your day? Have you got TweetDeck open? Have you got Gmail? And it was exactly where I was at, And he said, he's kind of running a business, and yet you're spending all this time on things that aren't making you any money. And he was so right on, because, wow, that's the habit I got. And the amount of time, God, talk about addictions that I waste just watching TweetDeck, hoping somebody might mention me, in response to a comment I post, a little teaser out to Squid Pod or the Vinyl Countdown Boys, just to tease, just to get a reaction, for the thrill of interacting with somebody. But it's a fucking waste of time! Jesus Christ! Fucking shut it off! Okay, that's the first thing. Gmail, well, Gmail's Gmail. I love the spam filter in Gmail. I don't get a whole lot, but, you get drawn in. And so, next thing comes Gmail. Julian's post comes up. Well, I always read Julian's post because I like them. And I like Julian, and I admire and respect him. And so I get reading this one about he's given up the internet for a month. Boom, shutting off. Why? Because he's going to walk this famous walk through Spain. Well, who the fuck but fucking Julian can afford to take a fucking month off and walk this fucking, 800-kilometer trail through Spain? Jesus Christ. So anyway, of course, that just gets me posting because suddenly he's got this band of followers, and I think some of them are the brightest people out there, and some of them are just fucking zombies! Just fucking fuck, because Julian said it, so I'm going to do it. And that drove me nuts. So that led me to spend a lot of time carefully crafting a response about Julian's fucking zombie followers. Instead of saying, hey, like the one that irritated me the most, there was one that just got to my fucking nerves. Well, gee, I'm going to go to Sri Lanka for half a month and not have any internet at all except for using it to plan how I'm going to get there and get home. Fuck you! Half a month. Why did she say half a month? You know why? Because it sounds so much fucking longer than 2 weeks. God damn it! Is this the kind of people who are thinking and being stimulated by Julian's post? I'm going to Sri Lanka for half a month! Not 2 weeks, half a month! God damn it, that drove me nuts! Fuck you, you don't have any fucking insight at all! And Julian's post, to his credit, is to get people to think, to step outside the box, to be real, but they're not! They're sleeping fucking zombies! God, sorry, I didn't know I was gonna be so. Lots I have to get out of my system today, I can tell you, before I start marking. Because, boy, if I approach my marking with this headset, my students are in a lot of trouble. Bye-bye, Go Train. Okay, so what else was that? So that was Julian's, that was Chris Brogan's. Oh, yeah, and yesterday I read, I went back to C.C. Chapman, of all people. Another good guy who I have dissed a little bit in the past, For anybody, I have just sort of moved away from the business style. And today, for some reason, it brought me back into the fold. And last night, somebody else, maybe it was Dave Delaney again, who knows, said, hey, go check out C.C. Chapman's blog video posts. And I did, and it was about manners in business. And he was right on that, how important the little things are, the courtesies of when he arrives at a new town and somebody says, hey, welcome, gee, is there anything we can do for you? Just give us a call. And him going home and sending thank you notes to people the old-fashioned way, that's good. That's real. And that was valuable because it's sort of beyond the whole business of, you know, just you tweet somebody a thank you. No, it doesn't count quite the same. So good for you. Good on you, C.C. Chapman, for understanding old-fashioned traditional business values, which basically comes down to good manners and common courtesy. Okay? Oh, is that where we're at? So anyway, today of all days was the same day I got an email from Vancouver, from a Japanese travel agency I work with, saying, all right, we're on for the summer. Send the contract. We're ready to sign. And this is good news. So my summer tour is on. This is just after last week, sort of saying, you know, a commitment from the college I teach at. Sorry, no positions for you. But that was only in response to the fact that I said, I don't want to work this summer. I can't. So this works out beautifully. This is my pattern, right? Teach in the fall, teach in the winter, my girls from Japan in the summer. So here we go again, off to camp. I got a fuck of a lot of work to do, and it's got to be done. I got to find homestays for 34 girls. I'm telling you, that's not easy. You don't call up the guys on Countdown Vinyl and say, hey, could one of you guys look after a 16-year-old girl for me from Japan? I don't think so. You got to be very, very, very careful about who you pick to be a host family. I'll tell you that right now. So anyway, although Squid Pond Joel, I mean, he's a father. He's got a child. Yeah. Hmm. All right, anyway. I got a shitload of work to do, and I had a friend saying, come on out Saturday night, 5 o'clock. Let's start drinking Saturday, 5 o'clock. Start drinking downtown Toronto. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I want to. But God damn it. I got so much fucking marking to do and stuff to do. And meanwhile, I'm trying to plan a trip to, when can I work in that trip to Nova Scotia? I got to go see my old buddies now, the Nova Scotia guy. Who, full circle there, was there the night I met Julian in at that initial Montreal podcaster meetup with all the folks way back then. That was such a neat little gathering. And anyway, stuff to do, and yet here I am talking to you because, as I explained, deep breath now. I've just got to get this out of my system. It works miracles. I don't know how many other podcasters actually work on these lines, but I suspect a lot of you, you may not know it, but the reason you're podcasting is to empty yourself. You got too much shit, too many fucking words and verbs and ideas and thoughts fucking tangling up your whole fucking brain like a monster. You got to let them out. Let them go one by one. Let them flow. You know, when you just start to feel, just a little bit better so that you can get on with the real things you have to do. I can get back home, go to my upstairs office. I've got three offices. It's fucking crazy. And they're all chock-a-block because of this pack rat disease I have, you know, of shit that I'm just determined I'm going to clean out my office at the college completely. I got a suitcase. I'm taking every single scrap of paper I've got out there. It's going to be a nightmare because, can't even think about what I have to do with those pieces of paper. The filing. But if I could just be a little more organized, if I could just be a little more focused, you know, maybe one of those magic pills that they give to ADHD people, you know, that they just help you, stick to a task from beginning to end. See it through. Not be so easily distracted by, beep, beep, oh, was that the little tweet sent? Oh, was that a tweet for me? Oh, good. A DM from Doug telling me where he got his new binaural ear mic plug things, you know, that are just going to sound oh so cool. The things Chubb Creek used to use and Dave Reakin on his podcast. Yeah, and there I go, you know, like a little butterfly going from flower to flower. Whoa. It's all so neat. Anyway, boys and girls, that's it. I got to go. My voice is... Maybe I'm not quite done yet, but I think I'm close to it. I just got to get the fuck out of here, and I got to get in there, and I got to start focusing. Focus. Like it's an old, you know, Leica M2 with that really beautiful 50 millimeter Summicron, and you got that beautiful silver hand-tooled
lens mount, and you turn that down. Oh, you're looking through that rangefinder. You're going to get those two images lined up exactly. Split on, perfect, clear, in focus shot, and hold that camera steady and just wind that lever over. You know, you're setting at 250. No, I can get it up to, you put out your light meter again. Okay, yeah, it's a pretty bright day. I can set that for a 500th of a second now. Hold steady, hold steady. Click. Ah, advance the film. Ooh, the sound of that Leica. That was the Leica I had stolen in Mexico, the M2, with my 90mm Elmar, my 35mm Summicron, my 50mm Summicron, straight back from the Ernst Lights factory, I believe in Midland, where it was cleaned by professionals in mint condition, a Leica M2, stolen, bam, out of the van in Mexico. And what did I do? I said, shrugged my shoulders and went on because there were other things going on, and it was so exciting being in Mexico. And hey, we were on our way to Palenque to have those mushrooms, but that's another story, and we're not going to get into that now. I think we're done for this section, don't you? There's still a little bit. It's just like, yeah, it was just a little more coffee in the pot, or maybe you're standing at the urinal and you're shaking your dick, and it's just a little more wee wee's got to come out, and. This is it. These are the last few drips of this particular segment. God, it feels good. God damn, I feel so much fucking better now. Holy fuck, the miracle of screaming into a microphone. Fuck, that's good. It really is fucking good. Now I really understand Norm Augustinus that much better. Because boy, does he let it out. Oh, he locks himself in that closet and turns on that mic. Holy fuck, did he give it to you? All right, that's it. I'm done. I have to be done. This is it. Good, good. Zip up the fly. We're done. Over, out. Thanks. Petering out, petering out. Bye for now.
Life is so complicated. La di
da
di da.
So complicated. La-di-da-di-da. complicated life.
Now he's now Superman as we know him. Essentially, but he doesn't wear the suit yet. He's not called Superman. He's called like the Blur or something.
No,
because he can blur past people.
I guess. All right. that's just fucking okay. Whatever.
But CW is not willing to let go of the show.
No,
because everybody knows it's the last season, so everybody started watching.
Oh, okay.
And now they're like, "Fuck, we got to keep it on."
Yeah.
That's small
good.
Fill.
Good for that.
I've never watched it.
11 years of fucking... We were worried about this a few weeks ago. We discussed this.
I don't even know the show. I've never once watched
it. World Without...
I didn't even know it was about Clark Kent.
Apparently it's going to feature
Crypto
the Superdog.
Crypto the Superdog?
Yeah. Who I'm not familiar with as a character, but I think he's from the books.
The dog came up in the comics for the odd one. I was a huge Superman fan, but not the way people are fanatical. People are so fucking nerdy about their stuff now. You just read them. You read Superman, you read Donald Duck, Uncle Scrooge. Sometimes you're embarrassed, but you read Little Lulu or Lulu, whatever that stupid girl was. Nancy? Was there Nancy and Sluggo? Popeye liked. It's a cartoon character. Anyway, background guys, that's Steve and Dave of Steve and Dave's Reality Tour. I've mentioned them before. And the only reason I'm listening to them now, that was show 48, was because, hang on guys, I gotta stop you. Jesus Christ. Here. Because they're coming to the Podcaster Live Night, April 12th, is it? The Tuesday? 12th, 13th? I can't remember. At the Imperial Pub for our live podcast tonight, and they want to have a roast. So these guys are going to want to be center stage, and not only that, but they have asked yours truly to be the host of the roast. And, you know, I had to think a few seconds about that, and of course I agreed. Yeah, it should be fun. I like hamming it up, especially if I got a couple of beer or a token to me, you know, on a podcast or live night. Let's have some fun, guys. So who knows how that one's going to go down, but I think it's shaping up to be maybe our biggest night. So I should try and put this podcast out before Tuesday. It's Friday afternoon now, 2 o'clock, 2:30. And just to see if we can get a couple of extra people dropping by, because Squid Pod, Jen and Joel are going to be there. They're doing a show. They got the 8 to 9 slot, apparently. Booted off these guys, Steve, Dave. They're going to do 9 o'clock. That leaves the Vinyl Countdown to do who the fuck knows, you know, whenever they're drunk enough. And then Gappage, that's me and Brent, formerly the Closet Geek, and our intern, whose name we never say, to do a Gappage episode sometime before all this shit happens, except the intern is going to be late, so who knows how that's going to go down, and whoever else is going to be there, you know? It's normally just very informal. Somebody wants to sit on the stage and talk, they do it. There's never been an order, or people sort of might ask, could we go now? Yeah, sure. But this night, wow, because of this big fucking roast for a couple of people nobody's ever heard of, we got to have all this shit organized. So there you go. A couple of guys from Burlington or Oakville or somewhere way the fuck out there. So I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, it's Friday afternoon. I'm in my car. I was going to just, you know, stick my iPod into my iHome radio and lie in the bed and rest and doze off. Because I got no energy today, you know? I don't know. I had a couple of sips of sake before bed last night. Now it's just a slight headache today. And, oh, Jesus. Maybe that wasn't a good idea, you know? And I got no energy, and I got a class to teach from 4:30 to 6:30, and it's going to be miserable. Like, I'm going to give them back their grammar test. I had about 80, 90 questions, shitty little questions on grammar, you know. Just fill in the blank, you know, choose A, B, C, D type of shit. But I'm going to make them mark it because I don't want to mark 25 pages with 80 questions, 80, 90 questions each. No fucking way. So I'm going to let them mark them. I've already gone through the red pen and circled on every paper anything that's blank, so nobody can sort of can go back after and fill in the blanks with the right answers. And I'm not going to let somebody else, your friend, mark it. You got to mark your own. Nobody's going to be embarrassed, and it doesn't really fucking matter. But I need to do something fun, and I thought maybe if I just got in the car, drove out here to Thompson Park where I am right now, and talked to you, that hang on while I close the roof. that maybe I'd get inspired. I'd get some kind of an idea to come up to, you know, Friday afternoon. Shit, these poor guys are tired and, yeah, you know. I really feel I owe it to them to do something fun. What can we do, you know? Group activity would be good. So I'm thinking about, hang on, hang on, will you? Jesus Christ, there. I'm thinking, I had to stick the recorder in the visor. I'm thinking maybe a group activity kind of game puzzle, but I don't have an idea yet. I did have one activity I've done a lot of times, and I know this is boring, I'm sorry, where I just give them all this fake money, you know, the Reader's Digest, $1 million, $100,000, $500,000, and say, okay, come up with a group plan. How are you going to spend it? What are you going to do? And that's always worked with every class I've done before. You know, I hold them accountable, you know, budget it out. Give us your reasons why, and let's vote, and whoever has the best one, they get the pretend money. And, of course, it's always to a charity or something, except for one group one year said, they just want to buy each other cars. Fuck the charity, which I thought was very refreshing for a change. Anyway, I'm out of the car. I'm walking through the park a little bit mucky, as it's still spring, you know, and the little ground is soggy, heading for a bench. And I thought you could help me, but I don't hear a damn word from you, you know? Although, I gotta say, holy shit, one person, listen, the remains, holy fuck, nothing left of that but the spine and the tail of a squirrel. Oh, God. I don't know what ate that, but holy fuck, they didn't leave much. A good friend, Francis Wooby, that's Wooby, spelled the way it sounds, Wooby, saying, hey, I'll buy into your sellout plan, the one that Prick just dissed at the beginning of this show. So thanks, Francis. I appreciate the vote of confidence. I still think it's a shit-out idea, and I'll get back to that later date. What else we got to do? We're still waiting in Tangier to pop that acid, you know. The turning point for that was me really being kind of reluctant. Holy fuck, you know, yeah, I'm happy sitting here smoking hash and this keef tobacco, and I've smoked my share of hash and grass, but acid, I don't know about that stuff. And my buddy, my traveling buddy, Peter from England, the kid who sort of, I think, ran away from home. Come on, it's gas, you'll love it. It's cool, it's no problem at all. You'll really like it. Come on, let's do it. Like, he had done it, you know, countless times, and it turned out, of course, he hadn't, and he freaked out completely. But we'll get onto that some other time. Best, when I think back, and I think back of all the trips I've done, I still got to say the hand-picked mushrooms in Mexico were the best. Because, like, you knew what you were getting. We were out in the field early in the morning at dawn, thanks to our guru, Alvin, out in Kingston there, and he had us bent over, and he said they just picked the thin stem, the purple ring just below the base of the mushroom cap. If it's got that purple ring, it's good. And we just went from cow shit to cow shit, because they spring out of the cow shit. And you just picked one after another out of the cow shit. And put them in little bags, and then got back into the van and drove to the park gates of Palenque, one of the most beautiful sites of Mayan ruins that you could ever imagine. There's, you know, I mean, a major site that had been completely overgrown by jungle until explorers back in the 20s and 30s, you know, these people who just discovering Tikal and Chichen Itza and all these ancient Mayan ruins, these civilizations buried in the thick jungle, you know, unveiled or opened this up and found the tomb of this Mayan king. And, oh, my God, unbelievable sight. So here we are in the parking lot with this bag full of soggy mushrooms and no way to cook them or anything else. So we ate them raw. What we did was we had some bread and we had some, I think, some marmalade or some jam, and just stuffed them with this shit and stuffed the mushrooms in and ate them till there was none left. Like, we definitely overdosed. We had no idea about quantity. We just ate them all. I think we had some Pepsi Cola to sort of choke the stuff down with. And, you know, paid our admission and walked into this ruins. And right off the bat, I mean, the three of us, fuck it.
whoa, you're getting this rush, and it was like this, I can't quite get into gear here, like, whoa, I gotta sit down, and whoa, I don't want to be sitting down, I gotta lie down, I can't lie down, I gotta be walking, I gotta be standing up, man, whoa, and it just took so long just to sort of find the gear, you know, and holy fuck, from there, we split up, we went to three different places, we just, whoosh. Off on our own trip, Robin. I didn't know if I had another name for her, but that's the name we'll do. It's not her real name anyway. Sat by the river and observed people. The other guy, Alvin, who sort of got us doing this, went off into this dark temple and was convinced he met some holy man. I was just in awe, and I found my corner of this beautiful big temple pyramid, and I sat there for hours in the sunshine. But we had, I guess that was as the trip had ended. I mean, it was long. We're talking many, many hours of just being completely hallucinated out. Like, you couldn't look at anything without just tripping continual. Like, this was like the best of fucking acid you can get. It was just a pure psilocybin from the mushrooms. And by golly, that would be fun to do it again. People always talk about shrooms, you know, and I think they just buy a little bit. I know when I went to Thailand with my wife for our elopement. They supposedly put some on our in our omelet, but I didn't get much of a buzz, I'll tell you. Anyway, I wasn't going to talk about that, was I? What I was trying to do was find ideas for my class this afternoon. I'd love to tell them some of those stories, but that would not do me well. Speaking of classes, and I know I'm going on a bit about the college shit and so on, but it's coming to an end this month, you know. There was a circuit that went around to every teacher congratulating somebody that I work with, one of the other teachers, for using the Canada Votes, you know, program that CBC had put out, where you go through each issue and decide where you stand on it, fully in support, totally against, you know, or somewhere in the middle. And, you know, he was being congratulated. In fact, I believe there were some people from CBC television came in and filmed his class and thought, wow, this is great. This is how you engage your students. And congratulations for getting your students involved and reflects well on the college. And I'm thinking, fuck, I already did that with my students. I didn't get any claim to fame. I didn't, you know, I just did it. I just knew when I saw it, hey, this is a natural. Let's use this in class. So it doesn't really bother me. Like, I really don't want the recognition. I don't need it. And yet, it's reaffirming to me to know here's somebody else getting this bit of glory, and it's going to certainly do him no harm when he applies for a full-time position. That I had already done on my own without any fanfare whatsoever. But on the other hand, I know if there was a choice of who you'd hire, I would hire this guy, you know. I would be so distant in the running. I just wouldn't hire me full-time. It's good enough. Yeah, get by, you know, do what I'm doing. But I'm past my prime, you know. I'm close to the expiry stage, and I'm burned out this time of year. I really am. But anyway, fucking, let's change topics. Jesus Christ, I don't want to fucking talk about teaching. I gotta go in a couple of hours and be in front of a class and perform like a trained fucking seal. So what is it we want to talk about? I've been doing a lot of teasing and a little bit poking, and I'm not, you know, I don't know if it really is the right thing to do to be as involved on Twitter as I am of poking at the vinyl countdown to get reactions and to all these people and just trying to, you know, get a little engage, a little dialogue and just see what tweets pop up in return. And fuck, man, grow up, eh? You don't need that shit. What are you, in high school, playing games, writing notes, teasing people? What the fuck are you doing? Don't you have better things to do? Didn't we start off his show talking about Chris Brogan saying, hey, what are your priorities? Fuck, man. I got shit to do. I got a living to make. I got money to make. I got responsibilities. Big time for a tour I'm running. I got the lives of 34 young ladies, you know, under my control for 23 days while they're in Canada every fucking
bit of that is my responsibility in doing. I got a fucking focus, man. Oh, speaking of focus, I did a mediation last night. And, you know, I walked in and I was kind of thinking, fuck, you know, I used to do the adult mediation, which was true mediation. You'd meet with the person who had been victimized, you know, and then you'd meet with the offender, and then you'd bring them together. So you've already got three sessions now, and then you'd try to come up with some mediation and get each other. And it was truly, you know, the heart of mediation. It's what when it really, really counted. And you were looking for justice because this is, you know, a court case, but you're also looking for healing and helping the victim feel that the harm done to them was recognized, and helping the offender recognize, you know, the full reality of the harm that they had caused through whatever it was they had done. And it truly had value. And then I got, you know, they pulled the plug. The government, provincial government, pulled the plug on that. And bam, the program disappeared overnight. And so I got transferred to the youth justice. And youth justice, all very hush-hush, confidential. You know, you're signing on. Not a word would ever go out. And you'd never hear me speak any details whatsoever on this podcast about who I see and what we do. Other than to say, I felt... These are kids who get into trouble, right? Okay, anybody under 18, and they just get into some stupid trouble, and the police get involved, and then they, we got shit to deal with here. This kid doesn't want a criminal record. How can we sort of fix it for him, and yet still feel that the community is upholding some standard of fair play and justice is being served? And it's a little harder under those conditions, you know. But we did two last night, and I was at the beginning, I was about to quit. So now, man, I'm just pulling out of this. I just don't want to do this anymore. And yet by the end of it, when you really connect with some kid and you realize, hey, people make mistakes, you think of your own children could be, and you realize what you're doing is of value to the community, to the people involved, and you're helping the parents feel a little better to know that there's people out there not really judging your child and accepting that people make mistakes and that there is a way of fixing this, and those charges will go away, and maybe this won't happen again, that there's been a really good learning experience here. And in most of the cases, that's exactly how it goes down. And you feel especially the compassion for the parents who have been pained by going through this whole thing. Like, holy fuck, what's my child done, you know? And then you realize, you dig into the stories, and you realize how many kids out there in this world we live in, here in Toronto, are really in a lot of pain, or have experienced a lot of stress and trauma already in their lives. You know, I think of how easy my life has been. You know, I was fed. I had decent parents. You know, I didn't go through any of the abuse some people go through right off the bat, you know. So that means me being good Joe citizen. Yeah, I can't believe how fucking mature I am. I guess maybe that's what I'm getting. I'm just so fucking mature. Here I am, a college teacher, a community mediator, a business of my own, bringing students from Japan to have a great experience in Canada in the summertime. All these fucking married men, you know, couple of kids I'm raising. Holy fuck, look at me. God damn it, eh? How the fuck did I get here? Well, it was bit by bit by bit, because it was sure never a long-term game plan. I'm not one of these people at the age of 18 said, well, you know, one day I'm going to get married and have a house of my own, a big station wagon, and that was never my plan. It just sort of grew into this, and I'm really glad it did. And I just wonder, maybe what I'm getting at, and it goes back to the mushrooms, what challenges are left for me? What else do I have to do in my life? Like, what is this? And should this lead up to that India thing? Do I really need to make that pilgrimage to India? Like, is there sort of a feeling that okay, I'm almost saturated at the level I'm at now, and there's got to be some big jump that I've got to make into another state, another either level of awareness, that leap that I'm always looking for, you know, with or without the aid of chemicals, plants. Or is it just some other personal challenge, like dealing with something either horribly awful, which God forbid I don't want, you know, any pain and suffering in my family or in myself, Or, you know, is there some higher purpose? Is there one more? And I think there is. I think I've reached this level I'm at now. Okay, I'm there. I'm here. Done. Now, what's next? This is very much that feeling. And I'm going to leave you with that because I mean, the same question applies to, like, what's next for the students I'm going to teach this afternoon. I owe them. They've paid. I owe them to go in and give a good class. Give them something that they'll leave on a Friday afternoon thinking, well, that was kind of fun. I learned something. Good. Thank you, teacher. You know, I owe that for a minimum, but I think beyond that, I think there's something else I have to do. And I don't know that it will reveal itself on live podcast tonight. I highly doubt it. I think that's just a little bit of indulgence and good time fun. And there is no harm in that. But we got to go. We got to strive for just something a little more, a little higher, a little nobler, a little better, you know. Keep pushing. You can't be too complacent. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because basically I'm just talking to myself at this point. Holy fuck, 20 minutes, we're gone. We're done. Thank you, and see you next week, eh? We're done for the weekend. I got things to do. Bye for now, and take care, and come back, eh? Please, come back. Come back, and let me know what you think about my sellout plan. Bye for now.
Oh, friends. Don't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you're in love with somebody, these are the words that you gotta learn to say. Now, listen carefully. Here it comes. I'll be loving you. Love that's true, always when the thing you've planned needs my helping hand, I will understand always, always. Days may not be fair, always. Yeah, but that's when I'll be there. I'll wait. Not for just an hour. Not for just a day. Not for just a year. I said that I'll be loving you always with the love that's true, the love that's true always. When the plan needs my helping hand, I will understand always, always. Oh, darling. The days may not be fair.
Days may not be fair.
What?
Always.
Always.
Yeah, but that's when all be fair. Always. Not for just a second, or a minute, or an hour. Not for just the weekend and a shakedown in the shower. Not for just the summer and the winter going sour. But always,
always,
always, you don't want to quit, let's try it one more time. All the loving you. Always. With the love. Not for just a year.